So we've been born again of the Spirit of God. And many of us have met the Lord Jesus, trusted in him as our Savior, and we have a life we want to live for him. But sometimes in our life, we get bogged down. We get into a routine. We lose the excitement of our faith. In the prayer of the Lord Jesus in John 17, would you turn to John 17, verse 1? As those of you who know and love the Lord Jesus, you realize there's more to life than living. There's more to life than things. There's more to life than enjoyment or sorrow. There's more to life than what's just here in our finite situation. And so when we look at this prayer, I'm only going to touch on, there are four nows in the prayer. I'm only going to touch on those nows. I'm not going to do the whole prayer. The reason I bring this up is, in his prayer, he's thinking on many levels. Now, some of you might say, well, I'm not educated. It has nothing to do with education. It has to do with perception, realization, who you are, what God wants to do in your life, the transformation that took place when you trusted Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins. At the time, you thought, well, I've received salvation. My soul is at rest. Let's get on with life. You want to be a good citizen. You want to be a good person. You want to do the right thing at your work, with your family. If you're young, you want to have aspirations that honor God. But on what level are you thinking? You know, we have the breaking of bread. And there we have the opportunity to express ourselves to God the Father, God the Son. Maybe many of you read. Maybe many of you are naturalists. You love nature. Some of you are quiet in nature. You like to be with your thoughts. We're all a body of Christ. And we're all different in our gifts, in our personalities. So when we come to this passage, it's almost a passage that you want to take your shoes off. It's a holy passage. It's a deep passage. You almost want to whisper the words, because the Lord Jesus is talking about himself and his Father and those disciples immediately around him and those who will become disciples. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, now these are small gestures. But notice, John wants to get us to this point, otherwise he wouldn't have put it down. Jesus looks up in the presence of his disciples, looks up to heaven. Before you knew Christ, the only looking you did was around you. Maybe you looked at the clouds and looked at the stars. This looking up to heaven isn't looking up to the stars, to the universe, to the expanse. It's looking up to the abode of God. We couldn't have cared less about the abode of God as an unbeliever. There's scientists who are unbelievers, not all are unbelievers, couldn't care less about the abode of God. They don't even believe in an abode of God. You know, it says in the scriptures in Corinthians, there's joy and peace in believing. Now Jesus, there in that upper room, had a life. He was a man. He looked like the other men. He was perfect. But he's looking at home. That's where he belongs. He belongs there in the abode of God. I don't know what the disciples were thinking. I don't know what you're thinking today. But if you know and love the Lord Jesus, that abode of God is waiting for you. That eventually will be home. Well, this is my home, yes. But it's not the only home a believer has. It's not the only reality that exists. We're now learning all kinds of things from society. I read journals, scientific journals. We're so fortunate to be part of the process of life and death, and we're no more. But it was wonderful to be there in the process. So you come into life, bloop, you're a blip, and you're gone. But wasn't it wonderful while you were in this life? But being alive has consequences, according to the Christian faith. So we live our lives. We want to be good citizens. But every once in a while, it's important for us to look into the abode of God. And we're busy. I'm sure that some of you pray while you're driving. Be careful. No distractions. Or some of you have do it on the run. But we have the privilege as children of God to look like the Lord Jesus did here into the abode of God. We want to get to know the Lord God. He's knowable. He's not like the Muslim God, who's not knowable. You fear him. I don't know if I told you, when we were in Florida, we went to this meeting in St. Pete, and one of the full-time workers has been working 30 years with Muslims. And I asked him, I said, what does the Muslim, the average Muslim, know about Allah? He's to be feared, but you can't know him. Well, we are under the assumption, because we've been saved by God's grace, that we can come to the Father through the mediation of the Lord Jesus Christ and the direction of the Holy Spirit. Actually, in our meetings, we address the Father. We've never been there. And this is the big difference. Our Lord Jesus not only raises his eyes to the abode of God, he's been there. So when we see the Lord Jesus, who has seen me, he said, has seen the Father. So when we study the scriptures and we look at the Lord Jesus, we conclude the Father is a wonderful person. If the Lord Jesus is a reflection of the Father, then the Father must be a wonderful person. But something has gone on. Before we came into this life, before the world existed, before we stand in the universe, God was there. Fellowship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Pre-existence. And when I'm born into this life and I only see what is here, there are times of joy, but there's a lot of evil in. Time runs out. Remember as a boy, before I knew Christ, I never wanted to go anywhere because it always ended. Well, why don't you go down and go fishing? But it'll come to an end. I had a weird sense of reality. Everything was hopelessness for me because it would all end. No matter how much you got involved, it ended. And this is the wonderful thing about the Christian faith. God always existed, will always exist. And he'll have those that have responded to the gospel of grace will always exist. Or we'll have a different perspective. There'll never be any boring moments. There'll never be anything to be repetitious. There'll be no hierarchy, no liturgy. But there will be being, living, relating. There'll be expression. There'll be purpose. Things to do. We haven't given, the Lord hasn't given us a lot of information on, and I believe it's on purpose. So, the Lord Jesus is praying. The hour has come. We talked about that in his ministry. The hour has come. You are sent by the Father to do something. He knew what he had to do. I don't think that the Lord Jesus put things away. I don't think there was no sense of enjoyment of being who he was in the circumstance of life. He was often found in the home of Mary and Martha, Lazarus. There must have been a brightness and a warmth. Having him present there as a guest in their home. We've heard this many times, but this wonderful Lord Jesus came into the world to save sinners. A wonderful life with his Father that we only can touch by the flashes of information we get from Scripture. A profound identity of who he was and what he came to do. The hour has come, Father. The hour has come for me to give up my life and to die for the sins of the world. we live in a funny society these days. There is no such thing as sin anymore. How are we going to preach the gospel if there's no sin? I'm very leery when gospel preachers say, give your life to Christ. No. You're not doing God a favor. Confess you're a sinner. Sin has condemned us. The wages of sin is death. Trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and you'll begin to understand the abode of God. Oh, Father, knowing that the hour has come, I want you to allow me to do exactly what needs to be done in the way only I can do it. That's how I see glorify your Son. He could have brought 100,000 angels and wiped out his enemy. He didn't do that. When the crowd came to get him, he could have run away. He didn't do that. All the things that happened to him, he accepted because out of his love for his Father and his love for us. And now the hour has come. Let me do this. Let me do it in a way that brings honor and describes your character, Father, so that I might glorify you. Jesus was going to Jerusalem, and his brothers said to him and others, if you want to be a big shot, if you want to be known, show yourself. Mary at that Canaan wedding. Oh, they've run out of wine, my son. It's not the hour now. He knew when he would die, but he had to show the world that he loved the Father. And did everything that he could in the perfection of his person to bring glory to the one who sent him to die on that cross. Now, we as believers, we need to live our lives in such a way that we manifest in our lives the resurrected Christ. We don't do it for self-glory. And if we do it properly and allow him to rule and be the Lord of our lives, we will bring honor to the Father. We can do this. That day in 1945, when I trusted the Lord Jesus, 10 o'clock at night on July 10th, 1945, I had no idea what I was getting into. All I knew is that I was going to be saved. My soul would be saved, and I had a Lord Jesus to follow. And it's the Holy Spirit that bears witness with our spirit that we are sons of God, and now we want to live lives that are honoring to the one who gave his life for us. Unfortunately, we're not perfect, and we get in the way of ourselves. We get angry. We're bitter. We lie. Our thoughts are filled with nonsense. We watch stuff that we shouldn't watch. The list goes on, but. We have to stop and look up to the abode of God, like our Lord Jesus did, and address our Father and seek the intercession of Christ on our behalf that we might live honorable lives for him. You have given him authority over all flesh, verse 2, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Now these, we have to be careful now as we read this passage. These, he's really referring to those 11 men there in the upper room. We'll come into this later on in verse 20. I don't pray for them, but for those who will believe later on. These disciples of his were sons of God in the sense by creation. And they had their traditions and their ideas, and now he's saying to his Father, he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And here they are. Eternal life. And then they'll preach this word, and others, like ourselves, will receive eternal life. Now, we go through a lot of things. Sometimes fears, sometimes doubts, the loss of a loved one, or, as we've just found out, two of our dearest friends just died of cancer. For those who only have vision, tunnel vision, this is all there is in life, the story's over. But the Lord Jesus, the eternal one who lived in eternity, becomes a man and breaks the power of sin and of death for us. And he opens the abode of God to us. And we die and we're with him in paradise. We just got to get on our knees sometime each day or each during the week or whatever time. And just be quiet in his presence. Oh, I know there are those who sing and dance and feel that they're led of the Spirit by making a lot of gestures and noises. Just be still and know that I am God. And if some of you are suffering from pain and illness, in spite of the pain and illness, a distraction, just spend a quiet moment. Lift up your eyes to the abode of God and thank him for eternal life. Eternal life. Jesus promised in John 14 that he's preparing a place for us. That where I am, there you will be also. I come from the Thrall family. I'm part of the Thrall clan. That's not my full identity. That's my earthly identity. But that Thrall clan was dysfunctional. It was trying to destroy my life. And I found Christ. And the life that I lived became secondary as a young man and a teenager. I remember my brother Al said, my brother Tom said to me when I was down in Arizona visiting. He said, "Bob, we're afraid of you." "Why are you afraid of me?" "Because you want to walk with God. And it shows." The greatest compliment I could receive. I'm still a sinful person. I still make lots of mistakes. But we should be enjoying that sweet fellowship with Him who dwells forever in the abode of God. "I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. André Vernon just passed away. We met him in our ministry. He's a rugged individual, perfectionist. He was a Canadian paratrooper for 12 years, gung-ho as they came." That's an army expression, but he loved his country. He loved to serve. He became a prison guard. He didn't let things get out of hand, ever. He controlled every aspect of that prison guard life. He had a reputation of solving difficult problems. All they had to do was call André. One day there was a guy, there was a prisoner. Wouldn't come out of his cell. 6'6", 280 pounds. Just stayed in his cell. No one could, they couldn't get him out of the cell. "Call André." "Jacques, we're going to call André." "So what?" Well, all the cells were there. His was the final cell. And André tells the story. André's coming down the middle aisle, walking toward the 6'6". "I'm coming out. I'm coming out." And he walked out of the cell. Well, he was that way in his life. He met a lovely lady, believer, and then he trusted Christ as his Savior. And he became a teacher, a preacher and a teacher for 20 years. He died last week. But he finished his course. I think each one of us, I'm getting up there now, I want to be able to finish well, finish the task that God has given. I don't want to become flabby and noncommittal and undecisive and indifferent. I still want to enjoy the moments that I have with every believer who loves the Lord Jesus. And to expand my appreciation of who God is and what He has done. I've finished the work You have given me to do. And notice verse 5. I believe one of the most profound statements Jesus made. And now, O Father, glorify me together with Yourself, with the glory which I had with You before the world was. When we think of the humiliation of the Lord Jesus, keep this verse in mind. He was there with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, in a relationship we will never grasp. But it was in a relationship of expression. Expression of the deepest understanding of what being is all about. We're human beings. God is a heavenly spiritual being. And when the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit, He's bearing witness in our soul. And there's been a transformation that has taken place in the life of every believer that allows us to fellowship together in the body of Christ on a plane that's higher than normal. When we come together to break bread as one body, that's what we become. And we offer one sacrifice of worship. And that is one expression. And so the Lord Jesus says, in a sense, I'm coming home, Father, where I belong, where I came from. Now, let me recapture the innocence, the oneness, the fullness, the unity that we enjoy in the Godhead. The now of eternal expression. But this is the God we know. And we come into His presence, and I get so sick of people. Oprah Winfrey, my Jesus, my little Jesus. How do you feel about the Christian life? Not only think about it. How do you feel about listening to the Word of God? Is there a sense of anticipation and of joy and of happiness? You know, we can have dull ears, dull vision. We can go through the steps, but don't let us do that. Father, glorify me together with yourself. And that's going to take place for all of us. Not only are the Father and Son expressing together the oneness of their character, that's going to be our delight. That's why I brought that John 14 passage, that where I am, there you may be also. And though this will be a new life, see, this finite life is the only life we know. Jesus knew the infinite, became the finite, went back to the infinite, but he's taking us along. And I don't think it'll just be a ride in a train, so to speak, and we're all gathered back here, no. It's going to be a great, great life of expression. With the glory which I had with you before the world was. And we're going to have, we'll see this later on in this passage, we're going to have that right to express who we are as born again believers. And we're going to glorify together the God who loves us. We're thankful that our Lord Jesus is home. I have many places, many mansions, thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You're coming home with me. Today you will be with me in paradise. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, there are so many levels of thinking. Yes, we can have simple thoughts, and you love us. But every once in a while, a beam of light hits us, and we see something of the ecstasy of being your child and loving your son. Help us not to lose our curiosity, wonder, our all. Help us to glorify you, Father, through your Son, that we might live lives that are honoring and decent and kind. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the salvation that Jesus has provided in dying for our sins. Thank you for the help of the Holy Spirit in interpreting the scriptures and seeing something of the majesty of the Savior and of the Father who sent the Savior and of the Holy Spirit's power to raise from the dead. We thank you now. And then, Father, we would bring before you the meal that we're about to eat. Thank you for our daily provisions. So much of us is expressed in tiny matters, in daily matters, chores. So we appreciate the meal and give glory to your name. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.